broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And a world-famous Phil Hendry show, our number 877-876-PHIL. And I'm just looking for this thing, bud.
Yeah, I don't think I'll find it.
Well, I'm looking for this. I won't tell everybody what I'm looking for. Aha! I think I did.
You know if that guy cut people's head off?
No, I'll tell people later. But I think I found it. All right. Anyway, welcome to the program, 877-876-PHIL. This is our news and information hour. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget our merchandise store. Don't forget our downloads. Don't forget our archives. Don't forget our podcast. Don't forget. Go to philhendryshow.com for all your Phil Hendry Show needs. I get more people contacting me on Twitter. Hey, where can I get this show, that show? Go to our website. It is all there for you. Thank you. All right. Robert, what do you got?
I think there's a good story here about toilet paper.
Robert's, you like this one, huh?
What's that got to do with anything?
You don't think I got anything to do with happening? People, look at this. Bring back your own toilet paper. Back to school.
You got to bring your own toilet paper to school, bud. Do you ever have to do that?
No.
Okay, well, then don't be sitting there judging everything. That's where things are now. That's where we're at now in this country. When Emily Cooper headed off to first grade in Moody, Alabama last week, she was prepared with all the stuff on her elementary school's must-bring list, two double rolls of paper towels, three packages of Clorox wipes, three boxes of baby wipes, two boxes of garbage bags, liquid soap, Kleenex, and Ziplocs. The first time I saw it, my mouth hit the floor, Emily's mother, Kristen Cooper, said of the list, which also included perennials like glue sticks, scissors, and crayons. On the list for pre-kindergartners at McClendon Elementary in Nevada, Texas, a package of cotton balls, two containers of facial tissue, rolls of paper towels, sheaves of manila and construction paper, and a package of paper sandwich bags. In Joshua School District, the same thing. Big, big lists. And here's a school in Honolulu. Every student must show up with a four-pack of toilet paper. Shrinking budgets and outsized demands for basic supplies, and while many parents are wincing at picking up the bill, retailers are rushing to cash in by expanding the back-to-school category like never before. And let me tell you retailers something. These are parents, these are families. This is stuff that's needed for school. There's no choice. The kids need to have these antiseptic wipes because God knows what new flu is going to be bothering us this year. The kids need to have toilet paper. The schools can't afford it. If you people who are selling this stuff start jacking the price, we're going to find out and we're going to name your ass.
That's what we ought to do.
I'm telling you, we will. I'm going to find out who you are, and I'm not saying you will. But if I find, I don't care who you are, if I find out that you're jacking the price on these back-to-school essentials because all of a sudden everybody is in need and you think you're going to make yourself a quick dollar, guess again, friend. What's the thing they say, we'll make you famous? Isn't that what McCain or Obama or one of those guys said, we'll make you famous? We'll make you famous.
What are you going to do? How are you going to find that out?
I can find out how much they did charge and I'll find out what they're charging now. It's not a difficult thing. How much is a four-pack of toilet paper? What was the price last month? What's the price this month? Because the country's is having a tough time economically. We can argue about the reasons, folks, you know, and those are things that we do need to determine. And we're not going to determine it by calling each other names. And we're not going to determine it by wishing each other goes to hell. And we're not going to determine it by calling people commies. And we're not, you know... And I got to tell you something, the rancor in this country is matching that which preceded the Civil War. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not. But because we are stupid in this country and we don't have any knowledge of history, we don't know that we're replicating a period of time when we accused each other we damned each other. We accused each other of trying to undermine really vicious stuff. But, you know, like a traitorous behavior, things like this. And I'm not talking about whether you supported the war in Iraq. I'm talking right now. And let me tell you what. That happened in the 1850s. And if you want to know why it's important to know history, these are the days that you live through. This is why. Because you can see things happening and you remember studying other periods in the history of this country, and you recognize certain trends. And while everybody else is walking around with their thumb up their rear end, you can see things, and it worries you a little bit. And you, and the dialogue is ignorant. I don't care if Maxine Waters, and I'm sure that in the mind of that very narrow woman, that very small woman, I'm a racist. I'm sure I am. She's a small-minded human being. I've talked to her before. She can't have a conversation. She's a dictatorial, pressuring, suffocating human being. She doesn't let you get a word in edgewise. She thinks she's got all the answers. Well, she doesn't. And I'm not just singling her out because she's a liberal. On the conservative side, we have all of those jackasses like the Steve Kings of the world talking about dancing in the street if Obama gets elected. We've got, believe me, folks, if you think you got the, if you think you're on the right side of the political argument, I can find a dumbass somewhere in your midst. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know. But I keep using the same example. You don't drive the same speed everywhere you go. So why would you hold on to the same political philosophy with every year that passes? How stupid can you be? Some days you need government. Even a conservative will tell you that. And some days government's bad. Even a liberal will tell you that. Some days they gotta be there because everything has gone to hell. And some days we don't want them anywhere around us because we're doing just fine. That's how things operate in America. You know, remember Leonardo DiCaprio in The Departed? What did he say, bud?
Families always rise and fall in America.
Yeah, he said Nathaniel Hawthorne said it.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hawthorne, they quoted Nathaniel Hawthorne. Families are always rising and falling in America. Well, guess what else is always rising and falling in America? America! And you don't have the same solution for every problem. Cutting taxes is not the same. It's not the solution for every problem. Jobs is not the solution for every problem. Government spending, not the solution for every problem. You have to understand the times you live in. And if we aren't smart enough to hear that truth, if we're not smart enough to understand that, then, you know, we don't deserve it, man. This is a generation that's going to go down in talk about going down in infamy. Remember when Roosevelt said that about the Japanese? This generation will become an infamous generation of people that just were strangled on their own bullcrap. So anyway.
I bet you were talking about toilet.
Toilet?
Talk about toilet paper.
Yes, toilet paper. Schools across the country beginning the new school year with shrinking budgets. Buzzets and outside demands for basic supplies, and while many parents are wincing at picking up the bill, retailers are rushing to cash in. Now some back-to-school aisles are almost becoming janitorial supply destinations as multi-packs of paper towels, cleaning spray, and hand sanitizer are crammed alongside pens, notepads, and backpacks. Office Max is featuring items like Clorox wipes in its school display and is running two-for-one specials on cleaners like gum remover and disinfectant spray. Office Depot has added paper towels and hand sanitizers to its back-to-school aisles, staples, so, you know. And you got to pick up there's no choice. You got no choice. The kids have got to have that. The reason why they're having these sanitizers is because of all these diseases. You know, I don't really know necessarily whether that's needed all the time. I know that people get sick. And, you know, ever since I got that damn flu myself,
You every time you go to the store, you're wiping it down.
Yeah, you always wipe it down.
What do you mean I wipe it down?
You wipe it down.
What do I wipe down?
Talk about the shopping cart.
Then say it, man.
People are going to think nothing dirty.
You guys are talking about every time you go to the store, you wipe it down. Let people know what I'm wiping down, okay?
Why, are you embarrassed about it?
Get out of here embarrassed. Yeah, every time I go to the store, I take those handy wipes, man, and I wipe the shopping cart because I don't want to get leprosy. All right, so there it is. The shift is notable even at stores that sell much more than office supplies. When I walk through the back rooms of our stores where the layaway orders are stored, not only are you seeing things you expect to see, computers and apparel, you're seeing those sorts of household supplies the teachers are asking for, school systems are asking for, kids now have to bring. For several years, the list has been getting lengthier, but in many parts of the country, educators and retailers say the economic downturn has also pushed them into uncharted territory. It's definitely spiked this year, said Bob Thacker, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Advertising at Office Max. All right, so that's the good news there. You know, we'll get through it, I think. Yeah, we will. We'll get through it. But, you know, it costs these families a lot of money. So, like we said,
if you're gonna tell people to spank and make that
spit it out, man.
Yeah. You're going to tell on the people who are charging too much.
Yes. If we find out that there are retailers out there that are gouging people, we will. Talk about them, mention them, and like that. All right. We're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I found that name that I wanted to find, and I think we'll talk about that. Also, the controversial new Martin Luther King Memorial. Is it too white? It's made out of marble. I mean, isn't it? Maybe it's not made out of marble. I don't know. We'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots. Hi, patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. Now, I know that we may have a visit from Bob Green, I think. I don't know. At this particular point, I don't know that Robert Green from Fraser Foods is going to be on with us tonight or tomorrow night. I know he's had an issue with the people were what, bud?
You know, people are at, you know, they'll get a sandwich at the deli counter, and then a guy, yeah, can you put another piece of meat on there? And Mr. Green is...
They're getting too much meat.
They're getting too much meat on their sandwiches? You got to be kidding me.
Well, that's what he said.
All right. Well, we'll talk with Robert Green perhaps tonight, if not tonight, later on. Vernon Dozier as well, probably tomorrow night with the earthquake take and what was happening in his family. Now, I don't know why it was I wanted to talk about this, but I got a mind of talking about, we were talking about serial killers, which we talk an awful lot about around here.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's the name of those two serial killers? And the guys didn't know what I was talking about. I said, you know, the guys in the 18th century, they were brothers.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, these two guys were brothers in the 18th century now. And the latter part of the 18th century, around the time of the birth of the country, believe it or not, folks, there were two serial killers operating, brothers, Wiley and Micajah Harpe, H-A-R-P-E. These guys were out killing and murdering people during the early years of this country. They were known as highwaymen. It was another fancy term for just a guy that would stick you up as you were going down the road. Or river pirates. They would just, you know, be out on the river and rob you. And they were murderers. But the word is about these guys is that they... really liked to kill. They were said to have been born in North Carolina to Scottish parents. Their father or their uncles were, this is all alleged bullcrap Wikipedia stuff, Tory allegiance, which means they were fighting on the side of the British. Maybe. Nonetheless, these guys went around. They killed something like 40 men, women, and children before they were finally in 1799 caught up with, or at least one of them, by this posse.
Yeah, this is bitching what the guy done.
Well, the posse was raised by a man named John Leeper, L-E-I-P-E-R, in Kentucky. And it was raised because they had killed a woman named Mrs. Stiegel, the wife of Moses Stiegel. And so Mr. Leeper gets a posse together, chase these guys down, and he catches up. In fact, Leeper is the one who catches up with Big Harpe, the older brother, Micajah, first. He catches up with this guy, and they begin a scuffle, and out comes a tomahawk, one of those small axes.
Yeah, it's like what the Indians use.
Yes. And Mr. Leeper, John Leeper, the guy that got this posse together, he overcomes Big Harpe. Then Moses Stiegel arrives, who's the husband of the late woman, the murder victim. And this guy, Moses Stiegel, grabs the tomahawk and begins basically decapitating Big Harpe. So they kill him, cut his head off. And this is what they did in those days, folks. So don't, you know, think too unkindly of them. But this is what people did in those days to say there's law and order in this town. In this town here, there will be law and order. Or in this county or in this area, we have people who will do this if you get out of line. They took his head and they stuck it on a stick at the crossroads there. And the crossroads there are still known as Harp's Head Road.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God.
So they named it after a guy. They stuck a man's head on a stick and named a road after it?
I don't know that they named the road immediately after it. It's not like they said, oh, wow, look at that head on a stick. I said, why don't we just call it Harp's Head? Yeah. I don't know if they did that, but it's right at the crossroads. It's in Webster County, Kentucky. Webster County, Kentucky, and the name of it is Harp's Head Road. Now, I looked this up. Harp's Head Road runs right through this town. I don't know the name of the town. It's the main drag, and they do have every year some kind of a festival.
They're always having festivals in these places that have colorful histories.
Yeah, well, what do you think?
But of course they're going to do that. It's tourist money. And they do. They have some kind of a festival or some sort of a event there in Webster County where they, you know, I don't know.
They'll probably walk around with a head on a stick.
I don't know. They probably walk around, hey, Harp's Head, hey, it's something.
Think they sell cotton candy?
Why would they sell cotton candy?
I don't know. Just so you can, if it's a festival.
Sure, yeah, they'll probably sell cotton candy.
Well, why would they probably not have much of an appetite, though?
Nobody's going to give a crap about that. About the head?
Yeah.
No one's going to give a damn. It's so long ago. It's got the ring of just some old pirate tale. You know how these things have the, you know, they're so long ago. It's like an adventurous kind of weird story. It's no longer a horrific tale of crime and murder. So in any event, that's what happened. And these two guys, the Bloody Harps, were responsible for known murders of no less than 40 men, women, and children. Now, the younger brother, known as Little Harp, his name was Wiley Harp. His older brother now is killed. His head's cut off, and it's stuck on a stick. And the name of the road is Harp's Head. Now the little brother is off and has eluded authorities for some time. He used an alias, but he was finally caught because there was a reward out for him. He was caught by Samuel Mason, I think was the man's name, and he was hanged in 1804.
What'd they hang him for?
Because of the murders, man.
Oh.
He was killing people with his brother. Jeez.
He killed everybody with his brother, you idiot.
You're the idiot, man. I thought they already cut his head off.
Different brother. Different brother. So that's the story of the Harp brothers, probably the first serial killers in American history, because they were operating, as I say, about the time of the birth of the country. And I don't know...
How do you do that with a war going on and stuff?
Yeah, they probably they kill a guy and they think so, like the British done it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you mean if the war going on?
Well, you're going to kill a guy, and oh, yeah, here comes a... I don't know.
Well, it wasn't like they're killing a guy. Well, here's a battle. Uh-oh, here's a battle. We better get in the... Well, we got to kill a guy. I don't know, man. Maybe they were in areas where their battles weren't happening. I don't know. But in any event, that's the story. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about this controversial new MLK Memorial. Eager visitors flocked to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on Monday to catch the first glimpse of the recently erected 29-foot-tall memorial of Dr. Martin Luther King. The monument will be officially dedicated by President Obama on Sunday, the 48th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech. The $120 million memorial is the first on the mall that does not honor a president or fallen soldiers, and the momentous occasion is sparking controversy because some people think it's too white. I swear to God, folks, if we didn't know there'd be a controversy, here comes a Martin Luther King statue. Gonna be a controversy. Everything we do now is a controversy. You can't put a building up, a statue up. You can't mow a lawn. There's gonna be a controversy. Did they cut it too short? Did they leave it too long? Critics are not pleased that the statue was sculpted by a Chinese artist. Okay, well, that sucks. Do you know that the Statue of Liberty was made in France, or does that matter? And that it was crafted using Chinese granite. Statue of Liberty was made in France. They claim that the finished product is also too white, too small, fails to properly honor the civil rights leader, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I love it. I haven't even seen it, and I love it. I don't think they should change a thing on it. You know, people around the world, you know, they when we get it right, the people around the world honor us. We don't have to worry about nobody. Martin Luther King didn't wake up one day and say, gee, I sure would like to have the people of Europe love me and respect America. Abraham Lincoln didn't get up in the morning and say, I want to become president because I want to have a good effect on Europe and Asia and Africa. They cared about their country, and they let the rest of that bullcrap take care of itself. We are so worried about how everybody sees us now in the world. No wonder this country's got its head up its ass. However, we're here to make things right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and Phil TV in HD right after this.
Let me see that picture. Yeah, it sucks.
Give me that.
Phil Henry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
It's
the Phil Henry Show.
No, it ain't only two. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. I was just talking to Bud and Robert. I don't know why it is, but throughout my entire life, it seems like there's only ever been four living ex-presidents at any one time. Now, I'm sure that it's, you know.
That's impossible. There had to have been more.
Well, there doesn't have to have been more, but it just seems like that I'm sure that there were. But like right now, there's four living ex-presidents.
Hold on, wait. Let me do it.
Let me do it.
No, let me do it.
Robert, do it. What do you mean, let me do it? Go ahead.
There, Bush, Clinton.
No.
Shut up, bud, will you?
Shut up. Bush, Clinton, Daddy Bush, Carter.
That's it, four.
You said when the Reagan Library got committed...
What do you mean the Reagan Library got committed? You mean when the Reagan Library opened, they had a whole bunch of cars. I'll never forget, I was on the freeway at the time. And all of a sudden I see these limos, one after the other, and all kinds of cops and all kinds of Secret Service. Like, you know when there's a president coming through town, and only these were like four presidents, I swear to God. When they opened up the Reagan Library over here in Simi Valley, it was during Daddy Bush's term. So Reagan was an ex-president, technically. It was Reagan. It was Carter. It was Ford, and it was Nixon.
What do you mean, Nixon? He's dead.
Not when they did the library, man.
Not when they had the library open.
So, that was four. It seems like there's always only four. I don't know. I could be wrong. When I was a kid, and it's a very vague memory, but I know for a fact there were guys alive that were like Hoover. I mean, I remember they interviewed Herbert Hoover on TV, you know, and things were so different, it seemed. You know,
what'd he say?
Well, I don't know. They're like, well, President Hoover, what do you think about this Vietnam thing? I don't know. Where's that? You know, Eisenhower was around. Eisenhower, but there's some presidents that the job kills them, like, within, as soon as they're out of the office. Johnson didn't last, you know.
When did he die?
Johnson died within, like, 4 years of, Johnson was gone. He was dead within 4 years. Killed Roosevelt.
Well, killed Kennedy.
No, it did. He got assassinated, man, okay?
Well.
Not the same killed Kennedy.
Well, it sort of did.
No, it didn't. I'm talking about the job, the stress and the strain of the job. It killed Kennedy. The stress and the strain of that job killed Roosevelt, although the guy was on his fourth term. So no president's ever had four terms. I bet you four terms as president of the United States would kill anybody. He had an aneurysm or something. His head exploded. And then... Eisenhower, I think, lasted. Johnson was dead within 4 years. Nixon lasted a long time. Nixon's just one of those guys that he wasn't going to die just so people, he didn't want to give anybody the satisfaction. Ford lasted a long time. Carter did too. But Reagan, there's another guy.
Well, it didn't kill Reagan.
No, but, you know, as soon as Reagan left office, Alzheimer's kicked in. I think that really ravaged him, man. Bush, maybe there's something to do with the health. People are healthier now, you know. People are taking care of themselves better. The presidents, they get more...
They got more... They're like more White House doctors and all the different doctors. All get the physical examination.
Yeah, they're getting better medical coverage, I guess, or better medical treatment. Anyway, getting back to this Martin Luther King Memorial... The memorial is strange and weak. This is the view of some jackasses. Apparently, Martin Luther King Jr., according to Blake Gopnik at the Daily Beast, was white. This is Blake Gopnik. And what's Blake do? He writes for the Daily Beast. And what is the Daily Beast? Just something else that must be published because there's all this space on the World Wide Web. So let's do a political sheet, and we better have something to write about. So Blake Gopnik decided that the statue's too white. You jackass. You got to be kidding, Blake. That's what you might think looking at this granite memorial that gives King pale, freckled skin. And that's only one of the problems with the sculpture. It's also too small. At 29 feet, it's dwarfed by most decent-sized trees. With so many questionable artistic decisions, it's impossible to imagine the memorial finding a place in future histories of art. And fails to capture King's legacy. What was intended as a moving monument more closely resembles Han Solo frozen carbonite from the movie Star Wars. You just knew that this was not, people weren't going to dig it.
Yeah, but why do you say that, man? I mean, aren't these legitimate criticisms?
No, these aren't legitimate criticisms. This is art criticism. These are people who are saying, I got to write about something, let me come up with something, and let me start to complain about something, and we can throw one more thing we all got to worry about out into the mix. We need, as we were talking during the break, you can't use the F word, but we were saying the country needs a shut the F up czar. We need somebody that comes out and tells everyone to shut up. A czar, okay?
Yeah, but they're going to bitch the Obama's naming a czar.
Great, then we can have the Senate confirm them. A cabinet post. It's the secretary of shut the F up, okay? And when the country gets into its whiny, bitchy phase, which we've been having a lot of, we've been on our, excuse me for saying this, but we've been on our period here as a country for a long time. We've been crying and complaining and with a headache for a long time. And yeah, maybe we got reasons to feel that way, but you know, it's time we start to butch up a little around here and shut up. But be that as it may, what we need is the national shut the F up secretary.
What's he going to do?
He's going to go out there and give, he's going to say, and hello, I'm the national shut the F up secretary, as you know, yes. By the way, this Martin Luther King Memorial, that's too bad. You know, that's just the way it's going to look. Shut your mouth. Shut your hole. Now, I'm sure that whatever the hell his name is, Gopnik, at the Daily Beast, will be indignant and will say, oh, well, yeah, well, you shut up. But I think if you get the first, if you come out with and make the first foray into the shut the F up territory, it'll make everybody else look just like a bunch of pikers. So that's what we need. We need a secretary of shut your mouth, and that would be a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, people get offended.
Let them get offended. We need it. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the theme that I've been on here for about a week and a half. We need somebody to tell the American people the truth, and the truth is really this. Shut up. Get to work. Butch up. Quit imagining things. Get off of the computer. Get off of your blog. And yes, we know that you'll think that we're trying to tell you to get off your blog so that you can't tell the truth to the world. Go out and do something. Do something constructive. Find something to do. Get a job. Whatever.
Yeah, you keep saying get a job. There are no jobs.
Sure, there are no jobs. Yeah. You know what? You keep on saying that, man. Keep on giving them the statistics and give them more reasons not to think there are any jobs. And maybe there aren't any jobs. Invent a job. What's wrong with the country now, right? Just this particular period. What's wrong with this country right now is we're spending way too much time sniveling and whining about stuff. We need to keep our mouth. Let the talk show host do the talking, okay? Let the talk show host do the talking. We'll tweet and we'll sound like idiots. And you can make fun of us if you want, because we should be made fun of, because we do have our heads further up our ass than you do. But we're paid to do this blathering, right? You guys need to get on with it and get the country back on track. Everybody needs to shut up. And these cats that with the bitching about the Martin Luther King Memorial, too bad, you know.
You mean that's a good point about a Chinese guy. I don't know that Statue of Liberty made in France.
The Statue of Liberty was made in France, exactly. You imagine if they brought that over. Oh, my God. Let's just talk about the Statue of Liberty for a minute. If they'd made the Statue of Liberty today, this jackball, Glopnik, or whatever this guy's, that's not a name, that's a cereal. Glape Glopnik from Kellogg's. No, Blake, whatever the hell.
Glipnik.
Yeah, that's good, bud. Blake Glipnik If they brought over the Statue of Liberty today and they parked that thing in New York as they did back in the 18th century, or the 19th century, they literally brought it over in pieces. Did you ever, do you know how they brought over the Statue of Liberty?
Uh-oh.
They brought it over on a ship. They brought it over in pieces. And they assembled it over here. It's quite an undertaking. It's an amazing undertaking. And in much the same way, I think, it's been a wonderful undertaking to build that memorial at Ground Zero following 9/11, the fact that it's going to be ready for the 10th anniversary. I think that's a wonderful thing. But they had the head and the arm with the torch was parked down in the Battery. They had it on the grass or on the ground out there, right?
Yeah.
Then they had, like, the feet. Everything was all over the damn city. And all made in France. So that would get Blake Glopnik pissed off. Certainly wasn't made of any kind of material that was mined or otherwise produced in North America. It came from France, so that would get Blake Glopnik pissed off. And then maybe he'd get out a tape measure and get all pissed off that the Statue of Liberty is better endowed than him, and it's a woman. And then I'm sure he'd say that the Statue of Liberty is too big. Why, it dwarfs the ships coming in. Why, it's bigger than any building in New York. Why, what is that? So, just keep that in mind, my friend. A Chinese artist, huh? The greatest symbol that this country has, the greatest physical symbol, and there's a lot of them. We have Mount Rushmore. We have our Washington Monument. We have the Statue of Liberty, and we have a great many others. But I would argue, and I'm sure you'd agree, that the single most prevalent and recognizable symbol of this country to anyone is the Statue of Liberty, made in France.
Oh, man. You know, you think about that bad.
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's great. I think the French and America, the United States and France has always had a very great relationship. We got pissed off at them after 9/11 in Iraq. Because the French can be a pain in the ass like you've never seen. The French have got a problem. And let me tell you what the French's problem is. It's this. They fail to recognize where they have failed themselves. And they have failed themselves many times. They failed themselves in World War II. They failed themselves with Napoleon. They have failed as a country, and they cannot face it. And they want to look at America as this hegemonous monster that they used to be our blood brothers. You know, France came over and helped us in the revolution. The French had their own revolution that was patterned after ours. They were inspired by us. And they sent us the Statue of Liberty. They loved us. They admired us. Everything about America. Here comes World War II, and here comes De Gaulle, and here comes all our bullcrap.
Yeah, why can't we have an air base there?
Exactly. All of a sudden, we can't have our Air Force base in Bordeaux? Who do you think you are, anyway? De Gaulle told us to get out? So that's fine. But they have been very reluctant. But I think that it's come and it's gone. It goes in waves. I think the French are cool. It's a cool country. They're cool people. They are total ass wipes in Paris. I mean, I swear to God, to this day, it bothers me that I didn't clock that cab driver that guy was talking about.
Yeah, that guy wouldn't give you a ride.
That guy cussed me out in French. I know he cussed me out in French. I don't speak any French, but I heard that guy doing that. To this day, I wish I would have just clocked that guy. But other than that, France is fantastic.
You know, you did like Paris a lot. You say you come back from the museum and everything.
I thought Paris is great. It's beautiful. If I spoke French, it'd be fantastic. But here's another thing. This is the other thing. The French insist on French being spoken. They insist on it. And we respect that. You go into the Louvre, which is arguably the world's art gallery. Not just France's. It's the world's art gallery. The greatest pieces in the world hang in the Louvre, or did. And do they have it in English and Spanish and Vietnamese? No, they got it in French. French, baby. And only French, right? And you know what? I respect that. But if we can't do that, we're not allowed to do that. We got to have it all in 15 different languages. Otherwise, we're racist. What the hell is wrong with us? How did we get to this point? How did we get so stupid? How did we get so self-hating? You know? We got an art gallery, the National Art Gallery in Washington, wherever. It's all in English. We don't have it in Spanish. There's nothing of this and that. Oh, my God, they'd be screaming, and yeah, there'd be lawsuits.
What about Jada Pinkett Smith?
What about Jada Pinkett Smith?
I think she cheated on Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We'll be right back. Don't forget, Phil Hendry Show merchandise available at philhendryshow.com. Be right back.
Radio. For Jada Patriots. Pinkett Smith. By Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
He ain't made in France.
Radio. For Patriots. By Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett?
What an idiot.
Don't call me an idiot.
Call him an idiot, man.
Pinkett.
So, wait, Jada Pinkett Smith are still very much together, the Hollywood power couple said in a joint statement Tuesday. Although we are reluctant to respond to these types of press reports, the rumors circulating about relationship with the Balks, they said. We're still together. Our marriage is intact. It ain't too good, but no, they didn't say that. You know the old saying, I don't know if it's an old saying, I saw it in a movie once, so I guess it's an old saying. The rumors are always true? I don't know. The definitive denial comes after In Touch Weekly reported the A-list action hero and his actress wife had separated. The report, which did not name a source, followed just weeks after the couple's close friends, Mark Anthony and, why did I call him, his name's Mark Anthony, isn't it?
Yeah.
I call him Mark Anthony as an homage to the late Roman general. Why would I do that?
I think he pronounced it Mark Anthony because he wanted to be like that.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God.
I don't know.
He called himself Mark Anthony?
Yeah, I think he did because he thought I was bitching.
Anyway, it comes as couple's close friends, Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez, announced their own separation. Pinkett Smith and Anthony play love interests on the TNT medical drama Hawthorne. And Pinkett Smith's publicist quickly dispelled online chatter that the co-stars had extended their romance off the set. Everything about the Mark Anthony story is completely false, publicist Karen Tenser told the Entertainment Weekly. Will Smith's 18-year-old son from a previous marriage slammed the rumor on Twitter. Trey Smith said, no, they did not split. False information. Smith and Pinkett Smith, but that's Trey Smith. Is that the kid that... Will Smith sang about in that song, I'll spank your ass.
Oh, yeah, and that song about, you know, even though your mom and I ain't together no more.
Yeah.
What was the name of that song?
I don't know. Oh, I know, Welcome to Miami.
Welcome to Miami. No, it ain't Welcome to Miami. In any event, Smith and Pinkett Smith have two children together, actor's son, Jaden, 13, and budding pop star, Willow Smith. The couple met in 1990 when Pinkett Smith auditioned to be her future husband's girlfriend on the Fresh Air of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Smith, who didn't get the job, eventually wound up waiting tables at Norm's, where Smith went in and got himself a cup of coffee. Smith asked Smith out, and Smith said yes. I'm kidding.
God, man, I was believing that.
No, she didn't get the role, but the couple became friends and eventually married on New Year's Eve, 1997. Way to play that one, baby. I'm kidding. Anyway, Smith, age 42, said in 2008 that divorce was off the table. What I found is divorce just can't be an option, he told Ellen DeGeneres. It's merely that simple, and I think that's the problem with L.A. There are so many options, so a huge part of the success for Jada and I is that we just remove the other option. The superstar spouses have laughed off reports they have an open marriage and freely discuss their active sex life. Let me tell about the chick I went out with last night, he said. Ha ha, I'm only kidding. Be sneaky, your girlfriend's house at a party, the bathroom, a bedroom, Pinkett Smith told Red Book magazine in 2009. Have a fantasy date. Be his secretary. Pull over on the side of the road. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They also admitted a romp in a limousine on the way to the academy. Well, who hasn't? Nothing. They also admitted a romp in a limousine on the way to the Academy Awards in 2010. Will started looking at me in this way that drives me wild, she told Shape magazine. Well, let's just say we missed the red carpet, and I ended up with almost no makeup on and hardly any clothes. But Pinkett Smith, age 39, confessed to Uptown Magazine in June that she enjoyed time alone. People think that Will and I don't spend a lot of time together. Too much time, actually, if you ask me. It's always nice to have a little time apart. Sometimes you need that. Aha! So that's... And you know what? That's the...
That's the problem with both marriages.
Is there something wrong with your teeth, man? Both marriages. You said that.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't know.
Say it again.
That's the problem with both marriages.
You better get over to the dentist, man, because you went moth.
I did?
Yes, you did. Well, that's too bad, man. I hope that things are good with them. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Can anybody, you know, we talk about Hollywood people not, you know, their marriage is not lasting. Whose marriage lasts anymore? I don't know. And then there are statistics that say over 50% of all men who've been married 40 years, at least 40 years, have cheated on their wives. But that's just a statistic. It could be horse dung. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical direction Dan Northgraff, and our associate producers Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. Don't miss the Phil Hendry Show merchandise shop. Our ball caps will be in there this week. And, of course, all of our legacy CDs and everything else. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. See you later on tonight.
Phil Hendry.